Thank you, Eva, for the nice introduction. And good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. And because, like Eva said, I'm the first speaker from Asia, then I will take you to Asia this evening. We will talk about screening Asian flavor, Asianization, and articulation of new identity in Indonesian screen culture. I want to start with the popularity of East Asian pop culture, not only in the regions in East Asia, which consists of Hong Kong, South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, and also Singapore, or People's Republic of China, but also very popular in other regions of Asia. But I think since 2000s even, through the phenomena of Gangnam Style. I don't know, do you know about Gangnam Style here? It's really popular or not popular? Or a little bit popular? I think that the popularity of Gangnam Style become, you know, like obvious evidence that this Asian pop culture have been circulated and consumed transnationally, not only across Asia, but also across the globe. And the range of the cultural products within this Asian pop culture, from TV dramas, for example, or Korean pop music and anime or manga from Japan. And there are also, you know, like fashion style, even until now, also the culinary culture. And I want to show you a short clip of K-pop, and we will see how interesting and attractive this clip here. Maybe 내게 반해버린 내게 왜 이래 두렵다고 물러서지 말고 그냥 내게 맡겨봐라 어때 My lady Ding ding dong ding ding dong ding 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 Butterfly 너를 만난 첫 순간 Okay, I just want to show you this short clip because it's a long song. This clip is from SHINee. It is a very popular K-pop boy band. And not only popular in East Asia and across Asia, in Indonesia even, it's very popular, and the song is Ring Ding Dong. And I think when we saw this clip, then we also become understand why it is very attractive, at least for young people in my country, Indonesia, when we ask them, why do you like K-pop or something that come from Korea or from Japan, they always said that the whole package is very attractive. You know, like this, for example, this clip not only demonstrate that they can sing, they have a very good quality in singing, but also the attractive dancing move. And they also have, you know, like the good-looking guys here. And sometimes there are also, they use the very beautiful landscape of Korea or Japan. So this is the whole package, you know, like they really manage very well. And this has also become one of the strategy. And for Korean Ministry of Culture said that they have the total management strategy of Korean star making. So this is one evidence of that. And this popularity of East Asian pop culture, I think, has become very phenomenal. Like the research that done by Siu Fazak and Hyun Jun, for example, they said that Asian pop culture products have emerged as popular choice for youth in Asia. So many young people in Indonesia, especially who live in urban and also the middle class, because they circulate this Asian pop culture through the internet and also from the media, from gadgets like smartphone, for example, they really love this Asian popular culture. And like the research also done by Chua Beng Huat in 2012, he said that in the 1990s, Japanese trendy dramas were the rage on the small screens across regions of East Asia. By the end of the decade, Japanese trendy dramas were being displaced and replaced by the Korean wave. So the popularity of Asian pop culture is actually initiated by Japan in 1990s. And why it's called trendy drama? Because it's offered the trendy narrative, like features by the good guy, men and women, and they live in the very modern lifestyle. They live in an apartment. They also have a very
a high fashion style or something like that. So why it's then called the Japanese trendy drama? And it's also imitated not only by Korea, but also Taiwan, even Indonesia and other country in Asia, especially in East Asia and Southeast Asia. And Koichi Wabuchi also mentions about how the young people in Asia, they can really love to the Asian product, that young people in East or Southeast Asia might love Titanic, Harry Potter, and Eminem, but likely to be even more addicted to the latest product of Asian popular culture. Some prefer cultural products are not without Asian flavor. I really love this term offered by Iwabuchi, but Asian flavor, that is something that come from Asia, produced by Asia, circulated, consumed by most people in Asia. But I think Iwabuchi also want to underline that all the young people now turn their attention to something with Asian flavor, but it doesn't mean that they just ignore something that come from Western. So like they love Titanic, Harry Potter, and also Eminem, also the fact. And Ariel Haryanto also said that more Asians were shifting their fascination toward mass-mediated representation of already deeply westernized fellow Asians. So when we talk about Asian pop culture, we also have to notice that the so-called Asian culture is actually also already westernized. You know, like the element of Western culture always embedded in this Asian product. So like this hybrid. This is the example of how young people in my country love Asian product, especially that come from Japan, Taiwan, and Korea, from Korean cover dance and then cosplay, and also they are very love to go to watch the concert. This is the young fans from Super Junior, the most favorite Korean boy band in Indonesia. I think not only in Indonesia, in Korea also. These young people, even they come from small city in Indonesia, they come together to Jakarta, make their own banner, and then bring to Jakarta, and then they really happy and enjoy the concert from Super Junior. Here also, young Muslimah, they really love to come to the concert, and they said that they already in the venue at 4 a.m. in the morning, although the concert actually begin in 7 p.m. So it's really show how they really have the desire for this Korean pop culture. And when we talk about this East Asian pop culture in Indonesia, how popular they are, it's actually initiated like what Chua Beng Hua say, that it's begin in 1990s. Japan is the initiator of that. I mean that the popularity of manga, anime from Japan, and also the girl band, for example, here, this AKB48 is the girl band come from Japan. It's very popular, and because it's very popular, then the management of AKB48 then create the sister group in Jakarta, which is called CKT48. And there is also applications in Android for manga lovers. This is the manga reader applications in Bahasa Indonesia. So you can, everybody, young people, especially in Indonesia, who really love manga and anime, can read directly to these applications, not in English or in Korea, but in Indonesian language. But there is also the co-production, like the cooperation between the Asian and Asian culture industry. Like here, Japan and Indonesia, for example, we have this regional partnership, and then we produce here films, the big screen cinema, The Killers, for example, it's featured Japanese artists and also Indonesian artists. Here also the TV drama, it's called cooperation between Japan and Indonesia. And then also here, Taiwan, the pop culture came from Taiwan, and I think this is the most, you know, favorable TV drama from Taiwan called Meteor Garden. It's being watched by over than 3 million people in Indonesia. So it's breaking the record. Until now, there is no TV drama came from Asia or even from Indonesia that being watched by 1,000 people. And because it's very popular, then there is also the Korean version of that, that the title is Boy Over Flowers. And this is the local versions, the Indonesian version of Meteor Garden. And then, of course, since 2000s, the popularity of Japan in Taiwan then accompanied or even replaced by K-pop, in what we call Korean wave. Like Indonesia here, like what Sun Yung said, that Indonesia is the fastest growing hip-hop market in Southeast Asia, and according to Google Trend in 2010, 2,100,000 search for hip-hop coming from Indonesia. So this is also become the evidence how the popularity of East Asian pop culture, especially that come from Taiwan, Japan, and Korea, and my country, Indonesia. There is Super Junior, the most popular hip-hop boy band, and this is Girls' Generation, or SNSD. It's also popular, and this is the local versions of boy band in Indonesia. Now there are many, many new boy band that try to imitate the hip-hop boy band, and also girl band here, Cherry Bell. And this is also co-productions, like what we do with Japan. This is the I Love You Sarangai and also Hello Goodbye. So this is the partnership productions. And when we talk about this popularity of East Asian pop culture in Asia, it's related actually to the process that we call Asianizations. Asianizations is the process that begin in the region of Asia since the middle of 1990s, when the Asian nation had begun defining Asia and articulating Asianness in a confident and positive way. When we talk about Asia, Asia is not homogeneous actually. You know, like this concept is really ambiguous, because when we talk about the nations that created in the regions that so-called Asia, we have very little in common actually in terms of religion, in terms of language. We have also different ethnicities. But one thing that we share, we have the same experience, is that in the past, we were the Western colonial invention. So that is placed us as the negative counterpart for the West. So it's also create this relationship in other. But then since 1990s, in line with the spectacular economic development in Asia, especially in Japan and also in South Korea, then this negative othering can be turned around. And now Asia together, this nation in Asia try, you know, like to define, oh, this is Asia. And this is like the rise of Asian consciousness, that Asia now become more confident to face the Western economic and cultural power. And I think the process of Asianization here also related to the phenomena of globalization is a part of multifarious Asian responses to the global spread of West-dominated capitalist modernities. So for a long time, I think this is a long history, that Asian nations now, you know, like forced to consume something that come from Western. So we have the experience to consume the Western modernities. But now, in line with the process of Asianization, we try to create our own modernities, try to create something that distinct from the Western. And when we talk about process of Asianization, it's really a broad concept actually, but I do not want to talk about it in terms of geopolitics or economy, but I want to focus more on the popular Asianizations, which the main feature is the popular culture. And I can see here that popular culture become the site for newly articulation of Asianness in the formation of Asian modernities. This process of Asianizations also stimulate that the dialogue between Asia and Asia, that the inter-Asia dialogue and also cultural connections, the you know, like cross-regional interchange, I think it's also become increased. But I also want to say that because Asia is so homogeneous, that the relation between Asia and Asia is not always even, not always equal. Sometimes also a contestation. There is also the political economy of this relation between Asia and Asia. But I think this relationship is very dynamic. The process of Asianizations also you know, like increase this inter-Asia referencing. But I think we also have to underline that Asianization doesn't suggest an essentialist project of regionalism. It means that we do not talk about this pure Asian values or traditional Asian values, which it's impossible to talk about that. Because I think here, when we talk about process Asianization, it's also a site of signifying practice. This is a process of becoming Asia. So I think it's very interesting how Asia try to define being Asia. And then I also do not want to talk that Asianization is an effort to de-Westernization. or the westernizing Asia. It's not like that, because when we talk about the prefix D, it's just like rejection. Like want to isolate Asia from Western, because the case is not like that. When we talk about process of Asianization, like what I said before, like also underlined by Iwabuchi or also Ariel Herianto, that in the process of Asianization, it involves also the refashioning, reworking, and the reappropriations of what were previously considered as Western cultural attributes. So this element of Western culture still there, and always there, I think. But this is part of the attempt of Asian nations, you know, like to create Asian modernities that not a mere copy of Western counterparts. So I also said, like previously I mentioned, that Western cultural product remain highly influential, but the West is not the only point of reference anymore. You know, like, I think it's long history that most people or people in Asia then consume popular culture that come from Western. But now, with the process of Asianization, the inter-Asia referencing, there are multiple centers of production of popular culture that in the non-Western context. So I think now people not only place with the West as the point of reference, but there are many references now. So we can also refer to another Asia. So it's like the, you know, like the increasing interest from people in Asia and other social life in other Asia. So Asia to Asia. And I want to show you the clip again. This is the clip from Indonesia, which I think it's really represent what I said about this hybrid, this remix, not so much Western, but also not, you know, like go back to the traditional Asia, not like that. Here, the clip.
2011.
This is Hits. Here we go.
Aku jumpa dirimu, hatiku sudah tak tahan lihat cantik dan senyummu. Dari pertama ku tatap matamu, kau buatku terpaku terpesona lihat dirimu.
Apa kamu? Apa yang ku? Tolong jawab aku.
Apa kamu? Punya rasa yang sama? Tolong jawab aku.
So this short clip is from Hits. It's Indonesian boy band actually, but you know that they use three languages here: the Bahasa Indonesia, English, and also Korean. The last is Korean language. And this group also consists of three people here, the two Indonesian and one from South Korea. And just like the usual K-pop music, K-pop always use English phrase, but they also mix with the Korean language. So I think the versions, the Indonesian versions of the boy band also try to imitate that, but also put the Indonesian element in this. So that's why I said, I think that not the, this process is really hybrid, try to remix something that come from Asia, but it doesn't mean that we want to isolate this Western thing or the elements that come from Western. Formula is actually really prominent in the screen media in Indonesia. And when we talk about the screen culture, like I said, the Indonesian screen culture, I want to refer to what Ariel Haryanto defined about that. He said that screen culture refers to cinema, television, the internet, and the social media. The screen culture is actually also referred to the global trend when people now spend more time in front of the screen to perform the range of activities. And I think now when we talk about screen culture, it's not only about cinema and television. It's also underlined by John Fullerton in his book 2004, The Screen Culture, History in Textuality. He said that the phrase of screen culture addresses media that in the past would have been considered as lying outside the remit of film and television studies. So Fullerton here also want to underline the development of digital media, which then broaden the concept of screen culture. I think it's very important because in terms of the popularity of Asian pop culture in Indonesia, we also talk about the screen culture because youth fans group in Indonesia become the backbone of screening Asian flavor through new media platform, that is to user-generated content website, social networking services, and also fan blog. So they use this screen to, you know, circulate or recirculate, to reproduce even the Asian pop culture. And it's become very important because according to a research in 2014, Indonesians use their gadgets more than anyone else in the world. This is from Milwaukee Brown. It states that Indonesians are multi-screen users, and Indonesians spend a daily average of 9 hours of total screen media. So we really love to use the gadget. And we spend most of our screen time in front of the smartphone here, 181. So we also use TV, laptop, and PC, and also tablet, but smartphone become the highest portion of the screen time. And Indonesia also known as the social media capital of the world, but I don't know why they put images of only women in there. I also question myself about that. But this is the fact that Indonesia, the third Twitter country in the world, sending 385 tweets per second, and the fourth largest Facebook population in the world. And we also love doing the instant messaging, and the application that is very popular is WhatsApp, is the leader, followed by BBM and also LINE. And there is also predictions by on-device research that in 2015, this year, internet users population in Indonesia will reach 145 million people. And the whole population in Indonesia is 220 million people. So it's a little bit more than half of our population, we are the internet users. And young people in Indonesia, especially youth fans group in Indonesia, use social media not only to consume and circulate Asian pop culture, but also to recreate its content. So like, for example, they use the fanfic website. They also have website here to create their own anime and manga. They also using Facebook, Instagram, YouTube even to upload everything with Asian flavor. Asian flavor here refer especially, I just want to focus in Japan, Korea, and also Taiwan. Or they also use this one, you know, like cosplay, hijabers. They wear hijab, but they also very active in the cosplay activities. Or here, like I said, that everything with Asian flavor, like the culinary. Here, for example, the restaurant, the Korean, Taiwanese, Japanese restaurant are everywhere. It's really overwhelming. And after you came to the restaurant, then you will post it in the Instagram. So you just screen that, all the foods and all why, how you eat that. Yeah, you can follow them. You know, like in Instagram or in Facebook, even in the Twitter, the status in the Twitter, they will say, oh, I went to this restaurant. Oh, this food is really good. Something like that. And now I want to focus how the activity of screening Asian flavor become like a fertile ground for the young people to articulate their new identity. This is I want to focus, like I said, the Japanese, especially in Korea. Japanese and Korean pop culture have been dynamically reproduced and also recirculated through internet and fan activities. You know, I want to underline here that they use this internet and also social media to do that. And this new media platform, like I said, enables fans and consumers to actively participate in the creative creation and circulation of new and localized cultural products. They try to localize that, use the element that they consider as the local element, and then try to mix that. And then through this activity, there is an attempt to explore and articulate a new identity as modern-oriented persons. And first, I want to talk about the popularity of Oriental look in Indonesia in line with the popularity of Asian pop culture. What kind of Oriental look? What is Oriental look actually? Oriental look is just like people that come from Japan and Korea and also Taiwan. And Indonesia, actually, most Indonesian people fully aware that Korea, Japan, China, and also Taiwan are different countries with different ethnicities. But I think these differences are just slip away when we talk about Oriental look, because then we identify these people to the Chinese Indonesian. Chinese Indonesia become the one of the ethnic groups in Indonesia as the minority. They only 2% in Indonesia. But what is really interesting is that the fact that Chinese Indonesian experience symbolic annihilation for a long period in Indonesia, especially during the New Order era. This is the fact that the authoritarian New Order regime for 32 years sanctioned discriminatory policies and laws against Chinese ethnic group in Indonesia. There are always negative stereotypes that majority in Indonesia consume this negative stereotype, so that the Chinese citizen experience prejudice and open discriminations. But then everything changed after the fall of the New Order era. In 1999, the discriminative regulations against Chinese Indonesian was officially reformed. And in line with that, then the daily influx of East Asian pop culture has increased the recognition toward the Chinese Indonesians. So that's why now the Chinese Indonesians become very popular in Indonesian entertainment industry. You know, like this is open space for them, for the Oriental look, which then refer to the Chinese Indonesians. This is, for example, the girl band, very popular in Indonesia. It's Cherry Bell. This is GKT48. Every year they open auditions, and everybody knew that during the auditions, for the young girls who want to be the member of these girl bands, not only should they have the ability to sing, but they also have to have this Oriental look, or at least can imitate the Oriental look. They refer to this as the role model. Cherry Bell is actually want to imitate the girl generations from South Korea, and GKT48, of course, want to refer to the sister group, the AKB48. So you can see here the face, the way they look. They try to make it like, you know, the Chinese citizen in Indonesia. And mostly the member of Cherry Bell and GKT48 is a Chinese citizen. The same also happened to the boy band. Here also the Smash, one of the popular boy band in Indonesia. Look at they look. They try to imitate the Chinese citizen. Also Fame, also XO9, and also Hits. I think it's become very interesting because for a long time, they experienced these symbolic annihilations in the media, the space of media. But now, suddenly, they become the center of spectacle. Although, in this sense, they become the commodity of this culture industry, media industry. They also be a part of the media spectacle. But I think it's also kind of space for them, the recognition for them. You know, like, now suddenly they have the space for expressions. And I think it's also really interesting because the maturity, which previously really consumed the negative stereotype about Chinese citizen, Chinese Indonesian, now they become have desire for them and become, you know, like even eager to imitate that look. So I think it's really changed. The relationship is really changed. And if they want to have the Oriental look, there is a facilities to do that. You know, like here, for example, it's very popular in Indonesia. If you want to have Korean look, just go to hair boutique or go to the salon. You want Korean look or Japanese look, you name it. They can make it for you. And they also have added evidence because all these boutiques, all the salon, they also have Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and also YouTube. And so they can give you proof. This, I can make you like people or the member from Girl Generations, for example, or can make like the member of Super Junior. So just come to the boutique. And there are also, you know, like Key Look, how to have the kilo. I also have you like the Korean nail polish and also the color, the K-pop color. So it's become overwhelming, you know, like the commodity of the culture industries. And there are also another room for people with oriental look, which are not accommodated by culture industry or media industry. They have their own space in social media. They use Facebook. They create a group which is called K-pop cover dance. They just bake in because they like to dance. And then they make a group. And most of them have this oriental look, or at least they make their look like the oriental people. So they always upload everything related to activities. They also have YouTube, for example, to upload their training or practice dance move. Everything. They have their own fans. They have their own system, you know, like finally they become very famous because they, you know, start with this media, with the user-generated content, with the social media, everything. It's very active to do that. And the other phenomenon, I think, related to the new identity in line with the screening Asian flavor is crossing gender lines. This is the fact when male dance team covers the performance from K-pop girl band. So it has become a new phenomenon in Indonesia. You will not see this phenomenon during the New Order era, actually. But the post-New Order era, when the country actually become lose the control of everything, then the construction of gender also has become very, you know, it's very dynamic to be discussed. Like in Indonesia, for example, during the 32 years New Order era, the state sanctioned the official gender constructions that draw the strict line between how to be men, how to be women. And it's really hegemonic, you know, like they use all these apparatus to spread that and become very dominant. But after the fall of the New Order era, it's become quiescent. You know, like everybody didn't talk about gender constructions, especially related to masculinity. There is also sense of disempowered masculinity after the fall of the New Order era. And I think it's become a new phenomenon also when we see that the male dance team covers the performance of girl bands. But it's also become very interesting because, like you see in the clip from SHINee, that the K-pop boy band himself is actually really girly, already girly. You know, like what Sunyoung said here, that this flower boys is embodiment of soft masculinity. That the soft masculinity is actually the combination between the traditional masculinity from Korea and then the pretty boys, the Japanese pretty boys, which you can consume in manga and anime, but also the global metrosexuality. But, you know, like here, for example, the Big Bang, this is the popular boy band from Korea also, they become this model from lipstick, the red lipstick in Korea. Yeah, they're already very girly. So I think actually the male dance team do not need to cover the girl band because they just cover the boy band is actually already feminized themselves. But it doesn't enough for this group. This is, for example, this is the group that come from Indonesia, which is called Poison. They even label their group as cross-gender cover dance group, founded in 2012 in Bandung, West Java. They only want to cover the dance group from the dance from the girl band from Korea. This is Sister, for example, Orenia. But I think it's very interesting because Poison, although they said that they really love the K-pop, but they try to make, you know, like the character. They name the member of the Poison. They refer to the animal from Japan, which is called Sailor Moon. Yeah, yeah. Do you know about Sailor Moon? Yeah, yeah. This member, you know, they have their own character from Sailor Moon. Yeah, and they're also very famous in social media. They use all platform on social media, the Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. They upload all the dance move sometimes they also join the competition like this. For example, they upload it in the YouTube. They have very many fans here, for example. They also upload how they have fans gathering, you know. They never, you know, get job from media, because media, I think, is very sensitive. Talking about performing men in the women outfit and sometimes eroticizing their body during the dance move, it's really sensitive in Indonesia. So they just perform, for example, in the competitions or upload in the social media. Here also, this is Boys Generation Indonesia. It's also the cover dance team, but they only focus on Girls Generations. This is the popular girl band from Korea I also already mentioned before. This cover dance team founded in 2009 in Jakarta. They also try to, you know, like, imitate the dance move from the Girl Generations. Here are the members. But, you know, I think Poison, for example, they try to really feel the transgression. They love to be, you know, like to dance their body as a woman during the dancing activity. Now I want to show you the clip from Boy Generations when they cover the dance from Girl Generations. This young man with the Nike t-shirt, what make him different from the other member? You know that this man have the different body with the other. You know, like his weight is 90 kilo and he's not as slim as the other members. But and there are some occasions when they have to dance and with the sexy outfit like this, for example, short pants and tank top. It's always an exception for Sofian. The name is Sofian. Sofian here. Actually, in the Twitter and also Facebook, they talk about that. Sofian actually, they said that it's okay for him if he has to wear short pants or tank top. But then during the discussion with the other member, they said that if Sofian does that, then everybody just watch their dance, not the choreography, but the body of Sofian. And then just make fun of it and then mocking them. So it's become very negative. They do not want people watch their show like that. So they just want people just focus on the choreography. So they do not want to make people then just watch them like comedy, you know, like something funny. They do not want to do that. And according to Sofian, that no one in the cover team, the dance team, try to problematize his body. So they always said, no problem, you have the 90 kilo weight, but as long as Sofian can, you know, follow the choreography and can have the good dance move together with other members, it's okay. So, yeah, but I think it's really nice, you know, like Sofian himself said, maybe if I'm a woman, I will not have this chance. But because I'm a man, nobody here, my friend member never talk about my body. So as long as I can move my body, follow the choreography, and it's good, make, you know, like the solid dancing move, it's okay. So I think it's really nice, you know, that people like Sofian then have space, you know, like to express them his body here, because he really loved dancing, and he decided to, you know, participate in this cover dance team, and nobody in his team tried to problematize body of the member of this team. I think it's really good. This is the other the name also Boys Generation, but it's different with the Boy Generation Indonesia. You know, but this is also something which I think gave the proof that to crossing the gender line also something risky in Indonesia. So that's why when this group try to upload their video in YouTube, they need to give this notification that we are not gay. We are real men, just fans of SNSD or Girls' Generations. We love Girls' Generation. So they just want to make sure that everybody know that they are real men. They just want to dance, the Girls' Generation dance, but it doesn't mean that they transform or transgress into the women. But for Poison and Boys Generation Indonesia is different. They said that they really want to, you know, feel the transgressions from male to female. But also they said that there are many haters too. Actually, even Poison, for example, had the experience that they had to cancel the performance because during the performance, it is in one shopping mall in Indonesia, there are a group of men in the name of religions. They said that it's really inappropriate and they have to cancel the performance. So they said, the Poison said it's a couple times they faced this kind of experience, but as long as they didn't harm their bodies, their physical bodies, they said it's okay. Yeah, but I also want to say that in Instagram, for example, you also can see or read how the haters comment about them. But they also have loyal defenders. You know, like the fans, there are many fans who try, you know, like defense Poisons. You know, I think that maybe in the offline of reality, it's still hard for them to be exist. But in social media, they have this space, you know, to be recognized and people even love them. This is also the other, you know, phenomenon in line with the activity of screening the Asian flavor. K-pop fanfic, the fanfiction, the creation of fanfictions done by the fans group in Indonesia, they try to screen the queer. This is, for example, this is the most popular hip-hop boy band in Indonesia. The name is Super Junior. They have the highest number of fans comparing to other K-pop boy band and also girl band in Indonesia. They also have this official website that's called Sujunesia. It's the fan base, the official fan base. There are many other not official fan base also on Super Junior. This is also Facebook that's, you know, upload all the Super Junior fan fictions that come from Indonesia. I think it's very interesting with talking about screening queer relating to Super Junior. This is the fact about Super Junior. This is the most popular Korean, like I said, and the biggest number of fans, has the biggest number of fans, and mostly young women. Yeah. And ELF is the name of the fans from Super Junior, Everlasting Friend. Super Junior Indonesia is the most active fans that produce K-pop fan fiction with Suju as the primary source. And according to research done by Mizpah in 2015, she said that many of Suju Indonesia prefer to write slash fiction about members of Suju. Do you know slash fiction? Slash fiction is one genre of fan fiction which, you know, talk about the male-to-male relationship. So it's a homosexual relationship. So they try to make fictions, a story about members of Screen Junior have relationship, you know. Like Mizpah said that during her research, she tried to, you know, interview some people who are really active to write down the slash fiction here. They said that they prefer to see that members of Super Junior as homosexual rather than seeing them having girlfriends, because they said that I do not like, I just like they become, you know, like they have the romantic relationship one to another. And I think Super Junior also try to make it like a puzzle because they never feel very open about their sexual orientations. During the interview, for example, when there is an interviewer asked about whether they have a romantic relationship with girls, they always do not want to open about that. So that's why then most of the fans try to interpret that they are homosexual until 2014, because in 2014 there is one member of Super Junior get married, but the other haven't got married yet until now. This is, for example, when they do the pairing between one member to the other member, it's not random because they take the information from the concert, from the social media, because they have the direct connection. You know, they are connected to the Twitter or Facebook account of these idol stars. So they just try to find out who is very close to whom. You know, like here, for example, Donghae and Yoon-hook is very close during the Super Junior Super Show in Indonesia. Kyuhyun and Sungmin, for example, here also. And Siwon and Kyuhyun. So this pairing is very famous in the slash fiction, created especially by Indonesian fans. And I found this tree, I chose this because I know the author of this slash fiction. One of this author is my own student, and she has a very strong Islamic background actually. Even his father owned an Islamic boarding school in Madura Island. And she really loved to write down the slash fiction. And then I asked her about that, and are you not afraid if your member of family know about that? She said that, I'm not worried at all. Why? Because in Madura Island, the internet connection is very poor. So it's safe for me to talk about that. But then I just see that the imaginations that about the homosexual relationship come from a young girl who have an Islamic background, a very strong Islamic background. It's really fascinating for me. You know, like here, for example, like these three slash fictions. One thing that I really found it very interesting in these three stories, they all tell the story of the happy ending homosexual relationship and all talk about the family. Talk about familial value. They said that they are happy because the family accept them. You know, like always talk about, oh yeah, this is my family. We gather with the family, the extended family. So I think it's something that maybe if we want to talk about the politic of representation, we also talk about the social context in Indonesia where family values always, you know, like valorizing. Not only by the state, but also in the everyday life of the people in Indonesia. I think it's really interesting. The other phenomenon is related to the imaginations of being the young Muslimah. Muslimah is the female Muslim. That they even have the group here, Islamic Otaku Community. This is the people who really love anime and manga from Japan. The otaku is referred to the people who really obsessed with anime and manga. And this Islamic Otaku Community, mostly the member of this Islamic Otaku Community are young female, young Muslimah. And they also have this website and also Facebook. They also have Instagram. And all this account and the website and the Twitter and the and the Facebook and also in Instagram, they always put this one, these notifications. Let's watching anime, reading comics, but don't forget doing your daily prayer and other Islamic obligations. So they try to, you know, like bringing together, okay, you can have pleasure to reading comic, to enjoy anime and manga, but you also have to be, you know, still hold the religious piety. You know, like being modern but with moral conscience. Something like that. And this is their idol. It's become the symbol of Islamic otaku community. This is Angel Woman. Angel Woman is one feature from the Digital Monster Adventures. This is anime, Japanese anime. And this is a very beautiful superhero. It's very fine personality, but ready to fight all the evils. And then the people from Islamic otaku community try to appropriate this figure and then change the outfit, of course, with the hijab. Yeah, this has become the official symbol of Islamic otaku community. And they also, you know, in this website, they also upload their creation of anime, manga, fan fiction, fan arts here, all with the hijabs. But they also try to talk about the modern Islamic women. They have very open relationship with people from other religions, for example, and also they talk about being a modern young woman who live, for example, mostly in Japan, not only in Tokyo, but also in Osaka, on Kyoto. They also make friends with other people from Western. They talk about Western, they usually refer to Germany and London. So if you come and visit their website, they can find this kind of fiction. You know, like the imagination of being liberated, empowered young Muslima is really visible. It's visible here. I think it's really interesting. And this is also the other activity from the Otaku Islamic community. They are very active in the activity of cosplay. They even have the event hijab cosplay. Cosplayer here is competitions, you know, like this one. They try to dress, refer to the characters in anime and manga. Here they upload it in their social website, in the weblog also. But I think it's also very interesting the layout here. They are a woman wearing a hijab, and then they also have the costume here. So that the identity is layered. They try to, you know, like combine this. And they're very happy. It's their attempt to, you know, like defining themselves as a young Muslima, the modern young Muslima. And they even upload also the tutorial video in YouTube and Instagram how to wear this cosplay costume. It's really interesting. This is the K-pop fans, young Muslima as the K-pop fans. According to Ariel Herianto, the Muslim women make up a large proportion of the Indonesian best fan of K-pop. This is the image that Eva loves so much. this is one member of Super Junior. I also do not know who he is, actually. And this is their expression when they came to the concert from Big Bang. And this is also the Islamic dancers. They love to cover the K-pop dancing, the girl band or the boy band. So they are very active. They upload it in YouTube or also in Instagram. They have also fans for their performance. You know, like, you know, here they try to bring together the worldly pleasure and but heavenly blessing. You know, like try to combine this modern lifestyle, but you know, I still they hold the moral conscience. From all these examples, I just want to say that the phenomena of Asian productions, Asian pop culture, the inter-Asia culture flow, when Asia referred to Asia, in the case of Indonesia, for example, have fatalized local practices of appropriations of global modernities among urban middle-class youth, especially in Indonesia. And the activity of screening Asian flavor through new media platform offers ways of filling cultural lack and, of course, to pursue the global trends in consumerist culture. And it's also opening the space of negotiation, giving, you know, like the feeling of liberty among the young people and make them, you know, like the freedom to have the imaginations of being modern-oriented people. I think that's all my presentations. Helen, thank you.